Take your Bibles now, if you will, and let's turn to Mark, the last chapter, chapter 16. And we'll begin with verse 14 as we continue our series as we're talking about for the faith, and that is part of our theme. Giving out the message is the lesson title today, giving out the message of our faith, giving out the message of our faith. And that again is Mark 16, and we'll begin with verse 14. Let's read through this, and then we'll get into our lesson. Beginning in verse 14, afterward he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils or demons. They shall speak with new tongues or languages. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven. And he sat on the right hand of God. Now here's our key verse, verse 20. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs and wonders. Amen, or so be it. We need to remember that God has called us to give out the message of the Word of God. He's called you just as much as He's called me to distribute the truth about the gospel. Nobody in this building is exempt from that responsibility. In Mark 16, there in verse 15, Jesus said to his disciples, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's very strong and very to the point. Go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. And so those disciples had an enormous task to carry out, and God wasn't kidding with them when he told them to do it. All the world, every creature. All the world, every creature. And so those 11 disciples were in the early days entrusted with what we would know as the faith. Jesus told them to do it. They believed in what Jesus said. They knew he was the Lord of their life, so they went about doing exactly what he said. They got busy. And one of the main things the early disciples did was they functioned as messengers of the truth. They functioned as messengers. Now, we see four aspects of it in verse 20. We're going to look at that as our key verse. Four different aspects of it as we talk about it. First of all, we see the activity of the messengers. The activity of the messengers. It says they went forth. Notice that. In verse 20, the first part, they went forth. And so going forth is the initial step. They went forth. That's the initial step. And so Jesus said in Mark 16, 15 in our text, go ye. In other words, you have that responsibility. And it is important not only to know the gospel and to know God's will, but it's important to do what God has told us to do. Go forth. The lost are never commanded to attend church, are they? You cannot find in the Bible where the lost are commanded to attend church. In fact, they'll pass by our church today going somewhere else, won't they? They've never been commanded to go to church. But the saved people have been commanded by God, not just Pastor Weaver, but by God, to go out after the lost. It's a clear-cut teaching of the Word of God. Someone said this, they will not come unless they are sought. They will not learn unless they are taught. They will not come unless they are sought. They will not learn unless they're taught. Who's going to teach them? Who's going to seek them? Who's going after them? It has to be you and I that are saved. Psalm 126, 5 through 6 says, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Verse 6, he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, we go forth weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again, rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Now, that tells us we have a responsibility. What's the first thing he's talking about? Well, number one is toil. Look at what he says. He that goeth forth. That means effort. That means work. That means toil. So you could write in the column there of your booklet the word toil. And then you have tears. He that goeth forth and weepeth, a broken heart. We need toil, something a lot of Baptists don't like because it means sacrifice, and we don't like to sacrifice. We like the comfort zone. Toil, and then tears, a broken heart, and only when those things are first will we have the last thing. That's the triumph, toils, tear, and triumph. And that is, he said, shall doubtless come again rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. We'll never have the triumph until we have the toil and the tears. It will not happen. No church will have people saved until the people of that church go out and witness and bring other people in and win them to the Lord Jesus Christ, have a broken heart, and then we see the triumph. And so that's all part of it. It's part of what God tells us we should do. And then going forth is an instructed step. It is an instructed step. In all four of the gospel accounts, we have one gospel, but four gospel accounts, four gospel records. In all four of them, we see the word go. Matthew 28, 19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and Son and of the Holy Ghost. You see the word there again, go. And then in Mark 16:15, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. There it is again, go ye. Luke 14:23, and the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be filled. And then in John 20:21, then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. Amen. We all have that responsibility. Dr. Curtis Hudson, many of you remember him, he's gone on to be with the Lord, used to be the editor of the Sword of the Lord and an evangelist. Dr. Hudson said the only alternative to soul winning is disobedience to Christ. The only alternative to soul winning is disobedience to Christ. Let me say it one more time, because some of you are looking at me very hard, very strongly, like you're not getting it. Here it is. The only alternative to soul winning. In other words, we either do it or we don't. The only alternative to soul winning is disobedience to Christ. He's told you to go. He's told me to go. He's told everybody here in this building this morning who is saved to go and witness and to try to bring people to Christ. No exceptions. Every one of us, not just the early church. So those are the verses of Scripture. And then we have the audience of the messengers. The audience of the messengers. And that is, and they preached everywhere. To whom did they preach? Well, they preached everywhere. What does preach mean? Preach means to publish or proclaim openly something which has been done. To publish or proclaim openly something which has been done. We know something that has been done. We're to go out and preach it openly. We're supposed to do that. Now, I know that certain people are called to preach, pastors, evangelists, missionaries. They have a particular calling, a special calling of God to go out and preach. But they are not the only one. The messengers were vocal about it, and the Bible says that they spoke up. All of those messengers, not just the pastors, evangelists, and missionaries, but did you know that all Christians are called to preach? What are we called to preach? The gospel of Jesus Christ. In other words, in the sense of proclaiming the gospel. And again, that's what he said. That's what we're talking about when we're talking about preach. To publish or proclaim openly something which has been done. And to us, we're proclaiming the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Acts 4:20, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Amen. That is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the recipients, as he promised that, let me go back, the recipients were varied. These were varied. Who were they? The people that heard. The recipients were varied. Now, let me just say this to remind all of us. We cannot witness to the wrong person. I know some of you hyper-Calvinists don't agree with that, and I don't think we have any in here. But you can't witness to the wrong person. The recipients were varied. And they would witness to anybody, anywhere. Peter had a little problem with that, didn't he? Peter was a Jew, and Peter said, the Lord told him to go witness and to some Gentiles, and Peter said, I really can't see that. And God had to teach him a lesson that the gospel was for all people. And he gave him a vision. You've read about it in Acts chapter 10. And around verse 9 through 16 there where he taught Peter that what I've called clean is clean. In other words, go preach to the Gentiles. Here's why. God loves all. He's not willing that any should perish. Amen. So God wants all people to be saved. That is God's will, that they be saved. And there are a lot of different kinds of people that Jesus witnessed to. A lot of different kinds of people. In Luke 7:22, I'm just going to give you some of these. Jesus said to tell John the Baptist, he said, preach to the poor the gospel. That's what Jesus said to John the Baptist. And then in Mark 10, Jesus witnessed to the rich young man. He witnessed to him. In Luke 19, Jesus witnessed to Zacchaeus. And that really took a lot of grace because he was a tax collector. Amen. In John chapter 4, Jesus witnessed to a woman that had a terrible, immoral background. She was one that we would call a down and outer, but Jesus witness to her. Jesus said in John 6:37, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Anybody, anywhere in the world that will come to Jesus Christ, he will not cast them out, he will save them. Jesus gave the parable of the great feast, and he said, go out and invite people. And when there were three major groups that he talked about here, the rich, and then go out into the streets, get those people, and then go out into the highways and hedges, the byways, and get all of those folks. So he didn't leave anybody out. And that's who he's saying that we should preach to. Now, the accompaniment of the messengers. The accompaniment of the messengers. The Lord working with them. They had the message. They were supposed to take it. They were to take it to everybody. And here's the good news, that the Lord was working with them as they did this. Do you think God will not work with us as we witness? as we go out, certainly he's going to do that. He's going to work with us. And so what does he do? The Lord promises his presence. I'm glad that he does. He promises his presence. Paul said to the believers at Corinth these words in 1 Corinthians 3:9, "For we are laborers together with God." We're working together, but not alone. We're laborers together with God. And all four of the gospel accounts, again, and the book of Acts, all talk about what we would call, you and I today would call, the Great Commission. We've heard that term many times. We have the Great Commission. And with the Great Commission, we have the promise of his presence. Yes, he's told us to go, but he said, "I'm going with you." Listen to what he said in Matthew 28:20. "Lo, I am with you always," in the context of witnessing. Mark 16:20, "The Lord working with them." Luke 24:46-49, "You're witnesses of these things." And then he said, "I send the promise of my Father upon you," in verse 49. The promise of the Father. John 20:21, "As the Father has sent me, even so send I you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." Receive ye the Holy Ghost. In the very early time, in the outset of the church, he said to them, "Receive the Holy Ghost. You need him. He's going to give you the power." And then in Acts 1:8, he said, "After this, as you go out and witness, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you." Amen. "After that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, uttermost parts of the world." So, the accompaniment of the messenger is he promises his presence. And then he promises his power. Thank God he is with us in this thing, but he also gives us power. In John 15:5, he said, "I'm the vine, you're the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing." I have learned a long time ago, without the Lord, you just can't accomplish much. You're just not going to accomplish hardly anything that has any eternal value to it. And don't try to accomplish spiritual things without the Holy Spirit. We just cannot do it. That's why we need a prayer life. That's why we need a devotional life, where we stay in the Word of God, because we need the power of God on our lives, and we need the constant filling of the Holy Spirit of God so we can bear fruit. And John said we should bear much fruit, not just fruit or some fruit, but much fruit in our lives. We cannot do that apart from the Holy Spirit. And he says in John 15:16, "This is fruit that will remain." He's talking about people being saved, bringing people. The fruit of a Christian is another person coming to Christ. The fruit of the Spirit is those nine things in a cluster. But the fruit of a Christian is another Christian, bringing somebody to Christ, and we should bring forth much fruit, and that fruit would remain, and it has to be through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what he promised them in Acts 1:8. He said, "First, you'll receive the power, and then you'll be witnesses to me in Samaria, Judea, Jerusalem, uttermost part of the earth." But you need the power. So he's promised the presence, his presence, and he's promised his power. Now, the authentication of the messengers. The authentication of the messengers. How were the people going to know that they were authentic? How were they going to know that they were the right people? Well, he was confirming his word. God was confirming his word, his message in the early church. He was doing that, and that was part of it. Now look at the word authentic, what it really means: to prove or to show to be true or genuine, or to have one's identity verified, to prove or show to be true or genuine, to have one's identity verified. I always, when I think of that, I always think of the internet. You know, you try to get some information, and first you got to authenticate yourself. You've got to put in your email, and then you got to verify your email, and then you've got to give them your PIN, whatever that PIN is. You can't get some information. Doesn't matter how many airline tickets you've bought. If you're trying to get into American Airlines and to get some confirmation and some information, you've got to authenticate that you're really who you are. They may ask you for your birthday or the last four digits of your Social Security or some kind of code word that you have or some kind of PIN. Now, I've had numbers and names and everything else. Now, we've boiled that down to one thing, and I'm not going to tell you. You might hack into my system and get my reservation on American Airlines. But the Word of God or the Gospel had to be authenticated. Our message had to be authenticated. And so it was the important thing for the early church, the first century church, that it be authenticated. Now today, it's mainly our lives that authenticate the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But then, God in the first century used some very unusual things, some temporary signs that have since passed away. Now, God works, or rather good works, are what God authenticates our message with. That's one of the things. In Matthew 5:16 says, "Let your light so shine before men." Why? "That they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Our good works ought to authenticate our message. Amen. We say it's the message. We say it'll change your life. I was talking to someone yesterday, and we were talking about a person who used to be pretty rough and deep in sin. And I said, you know, when both of us know him, he said, "Boy, when he got saved, he really changed, didn't he? His whole life changed." And it did. And that authenticates, to some degree, the message that he's sharing with other people. And that would be our good works. And we should have those good works in our life to do it. We need to perform good works, maybe to our family, maybe to our neighbor, maybe to some co-worker, whatever it is. Our lives and our good works tell them whether or not they really believe what we believe is true. We need to prove it by our good works. And then, not only that, but boldness authenticates our message. Boldness authenticates it. Acts 4:13. "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men," that is, they were not trained in the universities of that day, the Harvards and the Yales, or any of them, "they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus." Amen. Here they were, just fishermen, but they were bold. And you know why they were bold? They had been with Jesus. That's why they were bold. That gets back to what I said. Praying every day, reading your Bible every day, walking close to the Lord, that will make us bold as we go out. And all of us know that salesmen, especially those that go door to door, whether they're selling vacuum cleaners or whatever it may be, they must believe in their product. After I graduated from seminary, I took a job working for General Electric, a manufacturer's representative in two-way radio communications. And I did that and volunteered as a youth director until we were able to build the youth department up after a year, and then they hired me. But that was what I had to do for that about 1 year. Well, one of the things that they wanted to convince me of was we had the best frequency modulated two-way radio equipment in the world. And I still believe that we did. We were much better than Motorola. And we had something that was in a metal box. It was like two sizes, it's just like two cigarette packs, and they had one, we called it the brick, and it was as big as a brick, and it was made out of plastic. Ours, because it was metal and because of the components, et cetera, et cetera, we could talk much further. By the way, when I sold one of those, that thing sold back then from $600 to $1,000. We better have a good product if you're going to ask somebody to pay that much for one. But you take it to somebody like West Virginia Pulp and Paper Company, and they could get a hold of a man that they needed to get a machine working again because they were losing about $1,000 every minute it was shut down. It paid for itself real quickly. But I had to be convinced it was the right product, and I was. And believe it or not, I sold a number of them. I sold to fire departments, police departments, sheriff's departments, hospitals, paging systems, all that kind of thing that was part of it. But I was convinced that my product was the best, and I had no problem doing that. Now, I didn't do much in the service area. One time I tried to service one of those a little bit by somebody talking to me on the telephone. And when I got knocked on the floor with an electronic charge, I decided I'd stick with sales. But at any rate, we need to believe in our product, amen? And if we do, bold, we're going to be bold about it. We're not going to hesitate. We're going to say, I know I have the product. And then compassion authenticates our message. Boldness authenticates it, and compassion authenticates it. Acts 20 and verse 31, therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with what? Tears. With tears. God help us to never get to the place, or maybe finally come to the place, and then not get over it, of weeping and crying for people that are lost. People we know. Some of you might be thinking, well, I've never wept over them. Well, I would talk to God about that. If I had not wept over somebody that was lost, whether it was my son or daughter or grandchildren or best friend or whoever it may be, it ought to be a general attitude that we would have compassion. Jude 22, and of some have compassion, making a difference. I'll tell you, compassion is going to make a difference in authenticating the message of the gospel. We're not going to win people to the Lord by arguing with them and winning the argument. You may win the argument, they may die and go to hell. And we have to present it reasonably. But if they know we're genuinely concerned for their souls and that we love them and we want them to go to heaven, that's going to mean a lot to them. And that's what he's talking about. And then also, transform lives authenticate our message. Changed lives. Romans 12:2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Our minds should be transformed. Don't be conformed to this world. Christians should not be conformed to this world. But we need to have our minds transformed. That's why God said through Paul to bring every thought into captivity. You ever have any bad thoughts? What do you do with them? What do you do with them? Court them? Flirt with them? Let them hang around a while? The Bible says bring them in captivity, just like that. Just right away, bring them into captivity. And so that's what we're supposed to do. And that means that we're going to be people that all things are new in our lives. Someone once said, I'm not the man I want to be, but thank God I'm not the man I used to be. Well, we should always be wanting to be more like Christ, but it should be true. I'm not the man I want to be, but I'm not the man I used to be. How about you? Or the woman either. We need to be more like Christ, and our lifestyle should authenticate our message. If we say we're saved, our lives should prove it. And then patience in suffering. Patience in suffering authenticates our message. 1 Peter 4:16. Yet if any man suffers a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. And then verse 19. Wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful creator. Whenever unsaved people see saved people going through trials and troubles and suffering, and yet they have the right attitude about it, and they do it patiently, then they arrest the attention of those people. Those people say, they snap to and take notice of those Christians who are going through all of that in the way that they're doing it. And so that helps the message of Christ. Then also, gracious words authenticate our message. Gracious words. Luke 4:22, "And all bear him witness, and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, Is not this Joseph's son?" Colossians 4:6, "Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man." In other words, our graciousness in our words is like salt and pepper on our food that makes it more palatable. And it seasons our message when we have gracious words and we use those words for the glory of God. Also, holy living authenticates our message. There are some verses, but let me just share a couple of them with you, not all of them, but holy living. Titus 2:14, "Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto him a peculiar people, zealous of good works." Ladies and gentlemen, if we're believers, we ought to be different. God has called us not to conform to the world, but be different. 1 Peter 1:15 and 16, "But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation." That's all of our life, because it is written, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." God expects us to live a holy life. I don't care who we are, if we're born again believers, God expects us, and that is going to authenticate the message. Some 21st century Christians somehow have come to the false conclusion that the way we're going to authenticate the message is compromise and become more like the world, and we need to live just like they do. That method is unbiblical. That method will not work. And by the way, current studies show that the contemporary movement, which has chosen that methodology, is beginning not to work. It's not working. And so we know that that's the case in the Word of God. It just is not working. Now, the average unsaved person, the person who doesn't know Christ, expects Christians are going to live the kind of life that is a life of purity, and it's the kind of life that the world will espouse if we walk like we ought to for God, if we do that. Now, if we're going to be vessels used of God, we've got to be clean vessels. We have to be vessels that are walking with him. God hadn't called us to be fancy. God hadn't called us to have such elaborate tools, but God has called us to be clean vessels. Clean tools who are out there taking the gospel to those that need it. And there's the four-step plan, and that is in verse 20. "And they first went forth." Are we going forth? Are we doing it? Are we working? Are we laboring? "They went forth and they preached everywhere." All of them. They preached. What did they preach? They preached the gospel. "The Lord working with them." Do we remember that the Lord is with us as we boldly go out and witness? And then the word, he confirmed the word with signs following. Back then, there were some very different kinds of signs, and they are not for us today. Those basically were over with in the early church. Now we have the four-step plan, and we have the Word of God. We have what God told them. By the way, does it work? Well, the Bible says they turned the world upside down. Those 11 disciples and those early church people literally turned the world upside down. Acts 17:6. These that have turned the world upside down. If they could do it, folks, we ought to make an impact on our culture and our society and those around us, we should be giving out the message of our faith. Are you? Father, thank you for the Word of God. And I pray you would help us now that we would indeed give out the message of our faith. And help us to be faithful to witness. Help us to back it up with clean living, compassion, good conversation, holiness in our lives. Help us to give out this good news as you've commanded us to. And, O Lord, help us to remember that we'll never do it alone. You're always with us. And I pray you would help us to have some fruit for your glory. Not just a little fruit or some fruit, but much fruit that you might be glorified. In Jesus' name, help us to be soul winners. Amen.